Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 411. We have singing, we have music, we have choir, we have the London Symphony Orchestra and choir conducted by Ralph Carmichael and arranged by Ralph Carmichael. We have some testimonies and a tremendous message from the Lord geared to make your faith grow. We've all been given the measure of faith, but this is the beginning of faith, the measure that the Lord gave us. He gave us a start, but we have to make the faith grow just like a mustard seed. It has to keep growing, and it grows by us receiving the Word of God, by hearing it. When we read it too, we have to hear. Do you hear what I'm saying, the Lord? It's when you're reading, He says. If you do, well, then you're going to receive what I'm saying, and you're going to do it. Because in the beginning, God did all these mighty works, and He gave the job for Adam and Eve to do in the garden. He told Adam to till it and to guard it and to keep it and to water it. And the main thing was guard it. Don't let Satan in. So He informed Adam that there was a devil and that he had to keep it. And that's the same thing that He tells us, that we have to keep our souls. We have to guard it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint, to take this service over, and let it be for the winning of souls and for the strengthening of the souls, for the watering of the souls, to give the people the faith, more faith and more faith, until they grow to the fullness of a tree that started out as a seed, the smallest seed in the world. The kingdom of heaven is within us, and it's like the seed that we receive by the Word of God being sown into our hearts, into our soul, into our hearts, our spirit, our souls, our minds. And then we keep reading the Word of God because it's the very thing that's going to make our souls grow, our spirits grow into a huge tree where the birds of heaven can rest in there. And we become, not all of us have been called to win the souls, but the teachers, the preachers, the evangelists, the prophets have all been called to win souls, and the scribes. And the others are to help the prophets, the teachers, the preachers, the pastors, the evangelists. There would not be any work of God if there wasn't helpers. We need chefs. We need printers. We need vehicles. We need witnesses. We need distributors and secretaries and typists and all the different things that we need. Gardeners and people to keep the properties up, to back us up so that we don't look like a bad testimony, Father. And so we pray that this message of the power, the Lord came, the Lord Jesus came into the world with power, as it says in 1st chapter of John. It says that God came into the world, into this world in the flesh. And He is the Word. And so we need to receive the Word in order to have You, Father. Lord, we ask it that souls be saved and this church strengthened, and all the souls that get saved are strengthened on a daily basis. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, we have Ralph Carmichael has a big track record. He, no wonder Nat King Cole sold so many records, because Ralph Carmichael did most all the arrangements for him. Carmichael did the arrangements for Stan Kenton, Ella Fitzgerald, Roger Williams, Peggy Lee, Debbie Reynolds, Tex Ritter. He actually wrote the song High Noon for the movie High Noon that Tex Ritter sang in the movie. And he did arrangement and conducting for Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Kay Starr, Eddie Fisher, Julie London, Al Martino, Lena Horne, Pete Fountain, the clarinet player, Ben Blue, Stan Freeberg. And he did the music for the TV series Bonanza, and for the TV series I Love Lucy, the TV series Red Skelton, and the Roy Rogers and Dale Evans show. And so it's just Ralph is saved, and he said that Jesus means everything to him. And he arranged and conducted this song. It's called the Hallelujah. It's called Hallelujah. And this is the hymn arranging and conducting the London Symphony Orchestra and Choir. Hallelujah. That's the way to worship the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Is to praise Him and to thank Him and say hallelujah, which means praise God, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we have a couple of testimonies here this evening. We could read thousands of them to you. I didn't solicit these letters. They just come in. Lo and behold, the Lord just touches people, and here they come. So where's the first one from?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, well, what do they have to say?
Dear Pastor Alamo, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's very apropos. And then what?
I am an evangelist and an end-time student of God's Word University, as well as the School of Ministry for Evangelism, both in Ghana. I happened to read one of your world newsletters entitled Earthquake. Pastor, Evangelist, Prophet Alamo, it was so revealing, convicting, and reviving that I suddenly burst into tears for mankind and our world today. Now, if all these are signs and symptoms of God's wrath and plagues, why then are most pastors and Christians being so carnal, worldly, and materialistic in these days of the Antichrist, the false prophets, and the beast?
Why are they what?
Being so materialistic.
Well, because people receive salvation, and the Lord in the first chapter of Genesis tells us when he saved, when he made Adam and he blew the breath of life into him and he became a living soul, not one that was dead. He had the living spirit of God in him. And he gave Adam some instructions for him and his wife to do. And he told him that he had, so he said, look at, I've planted the garden. I planted all the trees in here. And I've created all these different creatures. In the first place, I created the entire heavens and the earth. And the it was void before I planted the garden and made all the creatures. And separated the land from the ocean. And also, he says, so now I'm going to have you do some work. I'm going to rest and let you do the work here. I want humanity to do the work. But I'll be in you. This is going to be to my glory because Satan and the angels that were higher than you, they didn't have to bother with the flesh up there. But they're free moral agents as well, and they sinned. They didn't keep my commandments. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to eat from the tree of life. I don't want you to be concerned with worldly things. Love, not the world, it says. And he said to them, and he says it also in the New Testament. Then he said, I want you to take care of this garden. I want you to prune it and to water it. The mist came up from the earth to water it, but he said that I want you to take care of it. And I want you to, in other words, to tend to the garden. Whatever, Adam knew what that meant. You take care of the garden. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, and I want you to guard it. Well, when the Spirit of God enters into our body, we become born again Christians. We have the power of Christ in us. And we have the power to heal the sick. And it's power. All power in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus in the fullness. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he enters into us. And we have the power to cast out devils. We have the power to raise the dead. Read those scriptures, will you? It's in chapter 10 of Matthew and verse 1. All right, read that, and then we're going to read verse 8. Read verse 1 now.
And when Jesus had called unto him his 12 disciples.
See, now, Jesus had all this power. All power in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. So he has the power to give power to certain people. Not, as I said before, not everybody is an evangelist or a soul winner, but there are people that are helpers. Sharon, you can find that scripture, maybe. And they help the evangelists. They take care of all the property. They take care of sending mail out. They work in the mail rooms, they answer phones, they take care of the prayer line, and all these different things. But there's the disciples that were told they were given the power to go out and do what?
He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Okay, all manner of disease. So that takes care of people. There's a friend of mine that he's very worldly in that he takes care, he took care to go to a university to become a lawyer. And he's a very good paralegal. And he said now he has a license to be an attorney. And now he's got the worst kind of brain cancer. It's right up in the front of his brain. And it's like into the very fiber of the brain. It's unoperable. And so I invited him down here because I told him, look, you haven't given your entire life to Christ, and so therefore come down and visit me. And the Lord, if you will, give your entire life to the Lord and forget about this lawyer business. And come and visit us, and if you'll join our ministry, I'll bet you anything, because, you know, we need a person here, and many people. We have good attorneys, and you have to have them nowadays, because the Lord has commanded Adam to guard the Garden of Eden. Amen?
Amen.
And to resist Satan. Well, we have to use every force that we can to resist the devil. I'm talking about the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And the Word of God says that we need watchmen. You have to watch. So Adam was told to watch. And so this man's wrote me a nice long email and told me all the stuff that is happening to him and is happening to the attorney that he worked for, and stated that he's prepared to die because he is a nominal Christian, but he has not given his entire life, his heart, soul, mind, and strength over to the Lord. And so he needs to do that. And if he does, the Lord will heal him for sure. But the doctors all give him up as he's a walking dead man, they tell him. So anyway, and what else now? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Did you finish that?
Yes.
Okay, now let's go to verse 8.
Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers.
Wait a minute, read the verse before that.
And as ye go, preach.
He's telling to his disciples, as you go, preach. Preach what? Faith. Not doubt. I mean, if you have doubt, you're damned. If you have doubt, you're not healed. You're healed by faith. You're saved by faith. You're healed by faith. You have prosperity by faith. And if you keep saying, I'm so poor, I just can't do it, I don't believe God will do that, well, you won't. You have to have faith in order for the Lord to do it. And you have to stop saying things like that because as you think in your heart, so are you. Amen, the Bible says. So if you keep repeating, you know, that you have faith, if you have faith to read the Word every day, that'll build your faith. And if you don't have faith, he said, ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask him for more faith. But you have to do work, just like Adam had to do work, and just like we have to do work, too. Now, there isn't anything in the world that can save our souls, but by having faith in the Lord's ability to save our soul. And if we doubt, well, then we cannot be saved. It's impossible. You'd be damned. And the Bible tells you that. And so if we have faith to believe the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, then you're going to study about the kingdom of heaven in the Bible, and you're going to read it, and then you're going to see all the power that we have, because the law came with Moses, but power and truth came with Jesus Christ. And as I said, as the Bible says, all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. And he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So if you say, I can't do it, yes, we know you can't do it. But if you receive Jesus into you, who again is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then all power is in you. And we're going to play a Ralph Carmichael song at the end of this program. It's called All Hail the Power. And who is the power? Jesus is all power. Amen?
Amen.
So everyone, all of you, hail the power. Not hail the chief, you know, these people here on earth, but hail the power. All power in heaven and on earth belongeth to me, Jesus said. And he's the head of everything. He created everything by his word. And so if he's able to create everything by his word, then he certainly is able to, by his word, if you read it and receive it and do it, to create a new man in you. And that new man is Christ. He's the last Adam. The first Adam, you're dead, you're a goner, you're not going to make it into heaven. But if you receive the Lord, humble yourself before him and say, you're God and I'm just a man and I need you. If you don't, well, God, if he's will be merciful to you and he'll strip you down to where you cry out to him. But if you say, why are you doing this to me? I want you to know why some people are hurting, because he's wants you to do the logical thing, is to call out to your God, to your Savior, by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be saved, and then he doesn't mean you no harm, as they say down south here. He don't mean you no harm. He wants you to be saved, amen?
Amen.
And he wants you to have all power. Says so that you can sing, All Hail the Power. Oh my God, that gives me goose pimples, just the title of that song. It's an instrumental, and it's this Ralph Carmichael, arranging and conducting the London Symphony Orchestra with it, and we'll play that later. But now here's some of that power. He has the power to give power to whoever will, he wants to. And some of you have been given the power to help. That's so, I mean, without help, the Lord says, what happens if you don't have help, oxen, to plow the field? Hmm? Do you remember what it says? That you won't have anything. You won't be able to do the work. Amen?
Amen.
in so many words. I'm paraphrasing. So let's hear now verse 6, chapter 10 of Matthew.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
And as he says, go to the Israelites first, because they are people that have been raised from the dead. Abraham and Sarah were beyond the age of having children, and God gave them the power, to have a child, Isaac. And then Isaac begat Esau and Jacob, and Jacob had the power. And it just went on, this whole lineage. Incidentally, Abraham came from what they call today Iraq, Mesopotamia back then, but it's Iraq today. It's one of the provinces in Iraq there in Iran. Praise the Lord. Amen. And, God called him out of that idol-worshipping bunch of people to have a land, a separate land, a land that was given to the Jew. And God says he's going to give them the land, and his seed would be a blessing to everybody on earth if they received him, if they received the new covenant later. The new covenant was signed by Jesus himself with his precious blood. It was established through the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the new covenant, as I said before, is extremely dependable. It's dependable on God's side, on the side of Jesus, but you have to keep your side of the bargain too. He said, if you deny yourself and deny this world and take up the cross and follow him, that'll be keeping your side of the contract, and let God do what he will with you. If he wants to make you a prophet, don't shrug it, or a teacher or a preacher, or if he just called you to help out, then just be glad that you're getting to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Just be glad that you've been called. And there are some that are chosen, and you don't know whether God's going to choose you to do what I didn't want any particular type of position when I got saved. I was just so happy. When the Lord, I just cried out to him, Lord, I don't care if I'm blind, naked, and little, tiny like a molecule, just so I can feel this peace, just so I can be in heaven and feel the peace and the security and the happiness that I feel right now when you're pouring this spirit into me. I love you, Lord. I mean, I don't care. Just to have this comfortable feeling. This feeling is just not at all. There's no carnality to it at all. It's just, but it's like beyond ecstasy. Beyond, far beyond it. It's just, you're so relaxed and safe when you get into heaven. That's the, praise the Lord, he gave me that knowledge. And I just want to be there. I don't care if I'm prophet or dishwasher, if I have to scrub floors or whatever I have to do. And you know, that's the kind of person the Lord can use. If you don't care, you know, what he does, just as long as he lets you know, you know. And in the meantime, just don't worry about it. Just keep, pick up the cross and deny yourself and just fit in some way. Amen?
Amen.
At first, you know, I had to, this guy that was in our group, we all were sharing the same bathroom, and he wouldn't wash his tub. And I told my late wife, Sue, I have him go in there and clean the tub. And she says, you do it. And she said, if you do, me, I don't want to scrub that guy's old dirt off the tub. She said, if you do it, he's not going to make it, Tony. He's like, he doesn't care about, you know, being a good testimony. He doesn't want to wash his tub and everything. And he uses other people's stuff like my hairbrush and everything. She says, don't pay any attention to that. Just go in and clean his tub. And God's going to, if you do, if you just be humble, God is going to lift you up and you're going to be somebody great in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. I said, I don't care anything about me, but I do want to do what the Lord says. If that's the way to go, then I'll do it. Back then, I thought Billy Graham was the greatest thing in the world. And I said, now, are you sure that Billy Graham started out this way? Did he wash tubs? And then we used to have to go to the back of supermarkets because we won a bunch of hippies to the Lord. And we wanted to you know, we didn't have any money. So I ran totally out of money because I wouldn't work anymore in the world. I was afraid to, that God would strike me dead, because I knew he wanted me to surrender my complete life to him so that he could give me power one way or the other, power to scrub tubs or power to, let people use my hairbrush or whatever. But I just wanted to be in heaven, and that's what everybody's goal must be if you're going to be there. Now we can go ahead just a little bit more with this verse. Keep reading these verses.
Verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay, well, why should you say the kingdom of heaven at hand? It didn't say the kingdom of heaven is in the future. He said it's right now. It's right now. And you people are the beginning of it. I'm the beginning of it, and it's right now. The kingdom of heaven is right here at hand. This isn't something future. Now, as the mustard seed grows in people and you do what he says, pretty soon we're going to be like a mighty, powerful tree. The Lord told me one night that I have to be hundreds of millions of times stronger than a tree. That was one of the biggest trees I ever saw in my life. It was a majestic, powerful, big oak tree. And I said, how can I do that? And I've told this testimony. I've even written a piece of literature on it. I said, I don't know, Lord, you know, how can I be stronger than that? That's the strongest thing I've seen. And I went into the church and got up and told the congregation what he just immediately had told me. And I says, man, I can't. I just was praying first. I said, Lord, make me as powerful as that tree. He said, you have to be hundreds of millions of times more powerful than that tree. Well, what he meant was that I have to be living in you, and I am hundreds and hundreds of millions of times more powerful than that tree. And just as I said it, the tree fell, and it just was like an earthquake in that church. It just shook, rattled, and rolled that church. And everybody rushed over to the window, and I said, wouldn't that be something if that was the tree? And they all looked at me up when I was in the pulpit, and they said, it is the tree. It fell. Okay? So he has the power to let you know what's going to happen before. I've told so many testimonies of supernatural things that have happened to me, and there's millions of other people who have had supernatural things happen to them, but they haven't got the chutzpah, the guts to come out and tell it, because they're afraid people would think they're crazy. Okay, but the word of God is true, and the promises is true, and he is the power. And he says, all power in heaven, I mean, throughout the entire universe belongs to me. And if he's in us, we have that power. Okay, now he gave it. Read the rest.
Verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead.
Well, raise the dead? Yes, that's what he says to do. He doesn't command us to do anything that he doesn't give us the power to do.
Amen.
Amen? Then what?
Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Okay, so the Lord, in the Old Testament, there was no such thing as casting out devils. That happened in the New, because the power hadn't come to earth. The power was Jesus. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, the very beginning of this heaven and earth, the world, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes down to say that he came into the world. And this is the power, and he came in human flesh. And so we can have that power in us, but you have to have faith. You can't say, oh, that could never happen to me. God can do and has done just the miracle of the world that he created with his word and all the other things that he put in the world. And then he gave charge to Adam to guard the place. And so this man in this testimony is asking me, what's wrong with that? Read that again, what he says about all these different people supposed to be ministers.
Why then are most pastors and Christians being so carnal, worldly, and materialistic?
Because they're not guarding the garden. They're not keeping the commandments of the Lord. He says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of the world. Don't drink of the world. He says we can eat and drink here, but do not have any. Don't love not the world, he says. Amen?
Amen.
That's a commandment. And he says, so he says you have to plant. So the Lord plants seed into us with the preachers, and teachers, evangelists with me. He just came down like he did with Paul and say, because I had no confidence in human flesh whatsoever, because I knew what they were. I didn't believe Christians because, you know, you could see just what this man is saying, that they were carnal and they were not. They were doing the same thing I was doing before I was saved. But he planted Adam and Eve in the garden, and after he planted everything else and created everything else, then he told them to take care of themselves and to till the ground and to take care of everything in the garden and guard it. Guard your soul. Don't let Satan come in here. Well, your soul and your spirit is like a garden. You have to take care of it. You have to let the seed go into you. You have to let it water you. You have to receive what the word says. That's the water. You have to till the ground. You have to start working. You have to start doing the work. Let the Lord do the works of himself in this world. And you have to guard this Garden of Eden that's in you and the seed that's been planted in you, because if you don't, the devil is going to enter in and you're going to be carnal again. And it would be better that you had never known the good word or tasted the Spirit of the Lord in the world that is to come, the kingdom of heaven. Because it enters into you, it comes in without observation. It'd be better that you had never known that than to have known it and then don't guard it and don't keep the commandments. Don't till it, don't water it, don't let the word make faith grow in you to where you become strong in the spirit. And then finally, the Lord sowed Jesus into the world. Amen?
Amen.
He came to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the root of Jesse, the lion from the tribe of Judah. He came from the house of David, and the genealogy was held intact for many generations until he came, and he was sown into the world, and he became the first seed. He became the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And if we let it be sown into us, then we also are sown, the seed is sown into us, and then we we have to follow him by sowing seed, by helping out, by whatever we can do that the God, Lord give us the power to do. You don't try to covet anybody's position in the body of Christ, in the church. You just let the Lord do whatever he wants with you and be happy that you have eternal life. And that you're going to be in heaven, you're going to have peace, and you're going to have joy forevermore, and live in paradise. Isn't that enough?
Amen.
To stop doing what you're doing, to let the devil come in and corrupt your soul with false doctrine and all the other things that he sees people doing. So let's continue his testimony.
Why then are most pastors and Christians being so carnal, worldly, and materialistic in these days of the Antichrist?
That's right. That's what Adam did. Amen?
Amen.
And Eve, they had it made. They thought they could just sit on a lawn chair someplace along the lake or the ocean, and there's so many trees. God did all the work. He planted everything. They just hold their hands out, and a plum would fall into it, or a pear. Lord, a pear, please. No, he told them to till. Amen?
Amen.
To take care of the garden and guard it. And they can't just kick back and do whatever they want. Amen?
Amen.
And we can't either. He says that we have to work, arbeiten, trabajo, to work, the works of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We have to let the Lord, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, enter into us, and that we have to keep his word. And we have to keep watering the seed that was sown in us and protect, guard, resist Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let him enter into you again. That's what they did. Many of them, there's a great falling away today. After they've seen what happened to Adam and Eve and all of humanity, and after they've seen that God drowned the entire world in the days of Noah after he preached him for 120 years. Okay, and then what else?
Indeed, Pastor Tony, you are a genuine end-time prophet and teacher.
Well, I certainly hope so. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord. You've got to keep the fear of the Lord on you, because you see what happened to all the other people that didn't do what the Lord said. We have to keep reminding ourselves from the word of the Lord all the different things. You know, you homosexuals out there, you need to read what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, because that was an example as to what he's going to do to all homosexuals and lesbians in the last days and all the people that are whoremongers. You're not singled out. Every sinner is going to wind up, if they don't repent, in hell. Amen?
Amen.
In the lake of fire. Then what?
God bless you abundantly, both physically and spiritually.
Same to you. The Lord bless you physically and especially spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Now, Pastor, due to the Holy Spirit impartation from your magazines and literature, I would like to humbly plead and request for a copy each of all your newsletters, magazines, literature, tracts, and brochures, including your True Salvation manual entitled The Messiah, so that I will update my knowledge, wisdom, and power as an evangelist to win as many souls as possible for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'll not only send it to you, but we'll send it to, you know, if you want to distribute it, you can be a distributor there. Then what else?
I hope to hear and receive from you soon. Once again, may the Almighty God, Jehovah, greatly bless you, your family, church, and partners in Jesus' name. Amen. Yours faithfully in Christ, Robert from Accra, Ghana.
The same to you, brother. Praise the Lord for you. Okay, do we have another?
Yes.
Okay, do you have something, Sharon? Did I tell you to?
That scripture on helps.
Okay, helps. Yeah, read this, because even though you're not called, maybe you're not called, but just wait until the Lord. I thought I was just going to be a helper. I thought I was called to just help Sue because she preached so good. And I just did whatever I was told to do. And then what? Go ahead, read it.
This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments.
Diverse. Helps, see? Helps. Yeah, we need all the help we can get, folks. You know, and you need all the help you can get. You need the power of God. And if you do what he says, you're going to have that power because you're keeping the new covenant signed in his blood. Now, you got to keep your side of the bargain. It's a contract. You understand? Mm-hmm. You break contract, and it's not going to hurt anybody but you, because God's in the heavens, and he's happy there, and no one's going to take him out of heaven, and the saints are there that have been before us. And so, you know, it's up to you. Either you're going to have faith, or you're going to be doubting. You're either going to choose life, or you're going to choose death. It's all up to you and to me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've chosen life, okay? And then what do you got there?
Next letter is from Hessen, Germany.
Hessen, how do you spell it?
H-E-S-S-E-N.
S is in Sam, S is in Sam, E-N. Okay? What does they have to say?
Dear Pastor Tony, I was so blessed by reading the newsletters. In fact, I wanted to ask you if it is possible that you can send me some of them to give to my friends. I also wish to receive more information about your ministry, and maybe you can send also a Bible for my friend. I will be very happy to hear from you soon. God bless you in Jesus' name. Signed, Mercy, from Darmstadt, Hessen, Germany.
All right, praise the Lord. Now we have some scriptures here. The Lord wants us to know that in the Old Testament, the power was not here on earth. And so we see a lot of people think that there was no such mention of devils in the Old Testament, but it surely was. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7, the Bible says, "And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils." This is the Old Testament. Now, that's what everybody's doing today, is they're sacrificing their lives unto devils. And the Lord called us to cast out devils, not to sacrifice unto them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now it also states Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. They didn't sacrifice their lives to God, gods whom they knew not. These are the Hebrews. Then in Psalms 106:37. Yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils. That's what you do when you send your sons and daughters to these ungodly universities. You're sending them their souls to hell when you let them watch all the filth and degeneracy on television. Now, the Lord says when he came into the world, the Bible says that We read that in Romans, okay? Romans. Go ahead, really quick.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be...
Yeah, in other words, he came in the flesh, but he was God. Then what?
And declared to be the Son of God with power.
With power! Okay, so when he came into the world in power, if you read Matthew 8, 31 and 32, it states, 31 says, so the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, let us go into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, one word, that's all it takes, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the Sea of Galilee, of course, and perished. They all were choked in the waters. And you can see when you're in Israel, you know, the side of the Sea of Galilee where that actually happened. There's only one steep place like that over there. Praise the Lord. I lived in Tiberias and in Jerusalem. Now, Mark 1:34 states, and he healed many. So this, he healed. He had the power to heal. He had the power to cast entire legions of devils out of people. And he healed many that were sick of different diseases and cast out many, many devils. Why? Because he had the power to do so. Amen. Amen. He doesn't like the devil.
Amen.
Now, you people are sacrificing yourselves and your children unto devils. You're like the Gentiles that did these sorts of things. And he cast out many devils and let them not, suffered them not. He suffered not the devils to even speak because they knew who he was. They knew him. Matthew 8:16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast this power that came into the world. Power and truth came into the world in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the law came with Moses, but power, the power, all power in heaven and earth, and hallelujah.
Amen.
And truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that they were possessed with the devils, and he, with his power, cast out the spirits, these evil spirits, with his word, and healed everyone that was sick. I mean, that's something to go into a town, you know, and there's everybody that's got brain cancer, leprosy, every kind of disease, and everybody got healed.
Amen.
That, you know, believed in, they crowded around, they believed in him. Now, Matthew 9:32-33, this is verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to Jesus a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, no problem for the one who just with his word created heavens and the earth and everything in it, and then gave mankind the power and dominion over this earth. But he said, you have to do something. You just can't sit on a lawn chair, you know, and watch the birds fly by or anything like that. So when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, talking about the Old Testament, it was never so seen in Israel, not even from the beginning. This has never happened in the Old Testament. This power has come into this world. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah! Glory to God, he cast the devil out of you.
Amen.
Okay, all these people talking, well, I have my devil. Well, why do you want to have a devil in you? Go to hell for that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 states, verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Now, Gentiles are, you know, even if you Gentiles become born again of the Spirit when you kneel down before the world's greatest Jew, that may be an abomination to you, but then you're going to be an abomination to the Lord if you doubt. Amen?
Amen.
So the Gentiles sacrificed, they sacrifice to devils. Jesus said, or through the Apostle Paul, and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. These fallen away people that were once saved today, they say, oh, we should have mercy on devils. Let them stay. And if your wife commits adultery on you, that's okay. Forgive her. No, I'll do what Jesus said.
Amen.
I would divorce her immediately, okay?
Amen.
Immediately. Because that woman has a devil. Especially if she do the Lord first. And then she commits adultery, and they got all these pastors. And they got a program called Ask the Pastor. They ask these people, pastors on there, well, is it okay to forgive her or something like that? And they said, well, if a pastor commits adultery, should he step down? And they would say, well, you know, for a while anyway. Get out of here. What's the matter with you people? Don't you read the Bible? If they knew and then they rejected, then it'd be better that they'd never known. Amen?
Amen.
And Psalms 150, verse 2 says, praise him for his mighty acts.
Amen.
The things that he does. Amen?
Amen.
The things that he had done. Okay, now, so we're no longer under the Old Testament. God has makes with us if we keep the New Covenant. The New Covenant was established through the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the New Covenant is definitely dependable. I keep saying that because we have to depend on the Lord. We have to have faith to depend on him. We can't choose our own lifestyle. We can't be our own person. We have to die out. We have to take up the cross. We have to be nailed to the cross with him. The Spirit, we must walk in the Spirit, because there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the Spirit, but after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You have to, if we want to go to heaven, we have to do that, because we have to tend to the world. The Lord sowed Jesus into the world, and then Jesus was sown into us with the Father by the Holy Spirit. And now we have to go out and establish the covenant. We have to establish the kingdom of heaven in this world. Now, Jesus started it out, then his disciples, and then they were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then 3,000 were added to the church. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, and so like we have to, it happened because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have to be, some people say, well, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us. That's true. But if we want to be in the ministry, if we want to make sure we get into heaven, if we want to make sure that we have the power to live in these last days, which are terrible, we have to be immersed, baptized, immersed completely in the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So that we can have the power. He says, you shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And there's some preachers that have not yet received the holy power. Therefore, they are very boring when they speak, because they're speaking by the letter instead of by the Spirit. So we can depend on everything that the Lord says if we keep our side of the bargain, the contract. It is secure so long as we keep the contract, the new covenant between ourselves and God. So there was a need for the blood of Jesus. And people need to understand why the new covenant must be established through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and why a covenant is effective only when it is established with the blood. You must, we must be immersed in the blood of Jesus, and we must be immersed in the Holy Spirit. There is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. That's in Hebrews 9:22. The blood of oxen, lambs, rams, doves, bulls, sheep, and all these different sacrifices could not take away sins on a permanent basis, but the blood of Jesus takes them all away permanently and drowns them in the sea, God's sea. He forgets them, and he remembers them no more, and he gives you the power of the Holy Spirit if you will be immersed in it, or the Comforter in you to where you can, you are able to keep the commandments, therefore have life eternal forever. And I see my time is up again, and right now I'd like to invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power in heaven and earth. And you can do that simply by, you can start out with it, because remember, you have to build your faith by saying this prayer. Say to him, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. Immerse me in it. I know that you will not turn me away. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul, the only soul that I have or ever will have. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of this program, number 411.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in again tomorrow for another powerful message direct from the throne of God. And let's all hear, listen to Ralph Carmichael now conducting and arranging the London Symphony Orchestra and Choir. I don't believe the choir is on this one, but we'll see. Okay? All Power. The name of this song is All Power. All hail the power. All hail the power of Jesus. All hail the power of God himself, who came into this world in the flesh and turns the power over to us. And we need to tend to it.